I want to read briefly Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 15. It says, "In the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring to you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior who is called Christ the Lord.'" A man once told me that the joy is in the journey. The joy is in the journey. We've been doing a sermon series, and it's called The Gift, and we talked about hope, the gift of hope, to unwrap the gift of hope this Christmas season, and we talked about peace, the gift of peace that God gives us, and to unwrap that gift. And last week, we talked about the gift of joy, how there is great joy that God gives us, joys in the journey. Tonight, the theme that I want to talk about is love. Just a couple of thoughts about God's love. The coming of Christ is an amazing thing, and we have an opportunity to look at it as a historical event in which we celebrate with nativity. And it can become like a monumental occasion. But I believe when Jesus came, he came for so much more than just to leave us with religion and to leave us with thoughts of the past. He's also given us his Holy Spirit to sustain us and strengthen us with hope, with peace, with joy, and yes, even his love for this day. But then he also gives his people a promise of his second coming, his second advent, that he's coming again. So we should even be more hopeful, more peaceful, more joyful. We all know this scripture, John 3:16. And it says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." Last week I said that God is a giver. He's a giver. He's a giver of gifts, and he did. He gave the gift of his only begotten Son. And it says that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. And then we just kind of keep that scripture isolated, and that's our scripture. It's our go-to thing. But verse 17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world might be saved through him." So it's speaking about the sending of his Son. Verse 18 says, "He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then it goes on to what that judgment is. But it's very interesting is that we're already condemned. The coming of Christ is the gift of God's love manifested. It's the gift of salvation to people that are already in darkness. It's the gift of new life to those who are already dead. I was thinking of 1 John chapter 4, verses 8 through 9. It says, "The one who does not love does not know God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." It's not saying that God loves, or that God can take on the character of love. But it says that God is love. That's what love is. It flows from the nature and the character and the person of your Creator. God is love. God is love. And then verse 9 it says, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." And that's really the beauty of Christmas, is that you have love incarnate in the person, in the breath, in the life of Jesus Christ. Perfect. Perfect love. Perfect love that was sent here on this earth to those who are already dead in their trespasses. This perfect love that breathes new life. God is a giver. What does He give? He gives us life in the beginning in Genesis. He gives us this beautiful world. He gives us all of this creation. And then He looks and He gives us man and woman and He says, it's so good. He's a giver. He's a giver. But it says that the love of God was manifested. And that's the beautiful thing about Christmas, is that we know that God is love, and that love became incarnate. It dwelt and walked among us. It was light in the darkness. It was life to dry bones. And it comes in the person of Jesus Christ. The reality of the coming of Christ is this, that the Son of God became a man, so that all men could become sons of God. The Son of God became man so that all men could become sons of God. He's a giver. He's the giver of life. He's the giver of love. He's the giver of His kingdom. And He did all of this by giving and sending His Son. His Son. I don't know what your morning looks like tomorrow, but I challenge you that you don't just live your life walking through the motions. God didn't give such a great gift for us to just kind of squander it. He's called us to so much more, something so much greater than what the world is already in. We are people of light and people of life. We are people that have been given this gift of Christ. We now live by the power of His blood and the Holy Spirit, and we look for His coming once again. We are people of hope. We are people of joy and peace. And most of all, we are people of love. We are people of love. I challenge you that you unwrap that gift of love. That you examine your lives and your hearts and your minds. I always ask myself, what am I growing into? What am I being transformed into? Beyond my vocation, beyond my relationships, who am I becoming? Who are you becoming? I pray that you are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. That not only you offer or receive the gift of hope and peace and joy and love, but you are also a conduit. As the Holy Spirit lives in you, you are being transformed into the likeness and the image of His Son. What are you becoming? And there are so many things that monopolize our time. I believe that the evil one, he monopolizes our time with things that can be very good. Tomorrow morning we're going to wake up, and we're going to drink coffee, and the kids are going to be excited. We're going to wake up at a horrible time of the morning. Right? The only day they don't need an alarm clock. But we could miss a great opportunity to be mindful of what we're truly celebrating. I challenged our church this past Sunday, and I challenge you. If you don't come here tomorrow morning at 10:15 for the 40-minute service, communion service, that's fine. But I challenge you, as a family, gather and read Luke chapter 2. Maybe even go the extra mile and take communion as a family. We're going to take communion right now.